I spent about an hour and a half this morning trying to figure out what was going on with the computer, but it won't link to the internet. It won't do anything with the network. Just that computer. My computer works. The secretary computer, the computer downstairs, all work. Just that computer won't link to the internet. So I don't know what was going on. I tried to drop that on there with another jump drive. I guess it didn't work. But like we said, technology's great when it works, right? If you turn your Bibles to Jonah, and as you're turning to Jonah, I just want to say a few words before we get started. We mentioned that there's a baptism going to be going on next week. And we have one individual that for sure wants to be baptized. So we're having a baptism no matter what. But we wanted to offer, if anybody has not been baptized and would like to be baptized and understand what baptism is about, that you are more than welcome to join in this baptism service and be baptized. There's only one thing that you have to do first, and that's come see me and talk to me before next week, and we can line it up so you can be added into the ones that get baptized next week. So if anybody has a question about that, about baptism, come see me. If you're unsure, come and see me. If you're just curious about what it's all about, come see me. So it's all about coming see me. So that's just how it is. It's kind of funny as you do announcement, go see Pastor Stewart, go see Pastor Stewart. So far, not many people have come and seen me, so I must be doing okay. But we're going to continue in Jonah here this morning, and guess what? You're all thinking, he's going to finish today. No, I'm not going to finish, unfortunately. I didn't really expect that this was going to take this long to get through this series, but for some odd reason, God has really implanted some little extra stops on the way, because I've preached this series probably two or three times before, and it didn't quite take this many weeks to get through it, but there's a certain stops that God just says, okay, that's all you're going to go for this week, and you got to preach on that. And that's all there is to it. And if I try to fight it, it gets really ugly. But God is great and good and powerful. And though I may not feel comfortable maybe talking about something, for some odd reason, God always works it out. So if we turn our Bibles to Jonah, and we're going to start there at verse 10 of chapter 3, actually, and go on from there. And we're only going to go a few short verses here this morning. But in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, it says this. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Who is that? Who's they? Does anybody remember? Who's this story about? It's Jonah. Yeah, Jonah. But what's the story about? What was the message that needed to go out that Jonah was supposed to take? Where was he taking it to? He's taking it to Nineveh, right? So when it's talking about they, he's talking about Nineveh. Remember last week when we talked, what happened when the people heard what Jonah said? They did what? They repented. They put on their sackcloth ashes. They began fasting and praying for what? God's mercy. And what happens because they did that? God decided, hey, they turned away. They're not sinning anymore. I'm going to give them grace. And we know that by verse 10. God saw the works that they turned from the evil ways, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. It did not do it. You think, oh, whoa, what a happy ending to the story of Jonah, right? Such a blessing. God was merciful and just and gracious. And look at Jonah. He did what God wanted him to do after a little bit of a hiccup there in the middle. But he did it, right? Good. good, wonderful, great. Guess what? The book doesn't end there. It would seem like a good spot just to say, that's it. But there's a chapter 4 in Jonah. And I think here in chapter 4, we get a very good glimpse of humanity. You'll see why. Verse 1 says this. But it despised Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Now, wait a second, Pastor. You just said, what a wonderful ending, right? What grace and mercy God gave, and it is. What's Jonah's problem? Why is he angry? Anger is interesting. Anger sometimes is unexplainable. What do I mean? It's irrational. Anger is dangerous. And yet, Jonah is angry. And who is he angry at? Is he angry at himself? Is he angry at Nineveh, specifically? Who's he angry with? He's angry with God. Woo. Is that going to turn out real good? Probably not. But nevertheless, he's angry with God. I want to take a poll here this morning, and I want to see who's real truthful here. Who has ever been angry with God? Raise your hand. Not everybody's got their hand up in the air. Why not? I think everybody should have their hand up in the air. You might think, well, no, I've not really been angry with God. Yeah, you have. There's been a time you've been angry with God. Almost every individual has been angry with God about something. Maybe somebody died that you didn't want to die. Maybe you didn't get the job you wanted to get. Maybe you didn't get to buy the house you always wanted to buy. Why would you be angry with God? Maybe you're angry with God because of the spouse you got stuck with. I don't know. That was a joke. Yes, you're allowed to laugh. Why would you be angry with God? Jonah says he's angry. Why? Nineveh turned from their sin. God gave grace to Nineveh. Well, let's just look at this a little bit. The NLT says this in verse 1. This change of plans upset Jonah, and he became very angry. What was the change of plan? The plan was, what was the message that Jonah gave to begin with? If you do not repent, if you do not turn from your sin, God is going to destroy Nineveh. Destroy Nineveh. That's the change in plan. God decided to give grace to Nineveh and let them be. Right? Why does that make Jonah angry? Well, let's look in Scripture. So he prayed to the Lord and he said, O Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarsus, for I knew that you are gracious and a merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. What did Jonah just tell God? He pretty much told God that you could have sent anybody you wanted to go to Nineveh, but you sent me. And I knew if I went to Nineveh and told them you were going to destroy Nineveh, you were not going to destroy Nineveh. It says here that Jonah knew that God would give grace. Did Jonah know God? Now, if we look at this verse and you see here, it says here, when I was where? In my own country. Jonah knew this. Did Jonah know God before he got on the boat to Tarsus? Absolutely, he knew God. You know, there are some people, when you read through commentators, they question Jonah and what he truly believes about God. If he's really God's man. Now, if you read the whole book of Jonah, and you read this verse, to me there is no question that Jonah's a God man. And that he knows God. Everything that Jonah says here, that God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, who relents from doing harm, is our God. So when people pose the question, why does a loving God send somebody to hell? Does God send anybody to hell? What does God do? He lets you choose whether you want to go there or not. Did God love you so much? Did he have a grace? Did he have a mercy? Does he have loving kindness to you to make every option for you not to go there? Did God give you an option like Nineveh to repent from your ways, to get right with God, and he would give you grace? Absolutely. Why is Jonah angry with God? Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah says, this was useless. I don't even know why you brought me out of the fish. I don't know why I went through all that mess. It's just better for me to die. There's no point. Well, if you go and do some research and you look in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation because I think it gives a clearer picture than some of the KJVs and New King James and different translations. I read almost all of them. But it says this: if a prophet predicts something in the Lord's name and it does not happen, the Lord did not give the message. That prophet has spoken on his own and needs to be not feared. Now, if you read that verse, of course, I've told you context, 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 right? But if you take that verse and you look at just that verse, you would say, no wonder Jonah's mad. Why? He just discredited himself as a prophet of God because he said something that God said he would do, and God did not do it. How does that work? Does it work out for Jonah real well? His bitterness comes from his position of a human being, not his position with God. That's his problem. Do we suffer with that in our humanness? We suffer from our position as a human being, not our position with God. And sometimes we mask our position with God with our position as a human being. Did you get that? We mask our position with God with our position as a human being. There's a lot of people out there this morning playing church. They don't care what the pastor says. They want to get on the record that they were there. They're going to hold out their 40 minutes that the pastor's going to preach, and they're going to go see NFL football at 1 o'clock when kickoff happens, and they're going to root more for their football team than they do for their God. And some of the ladies that come to church and don't truly want to be there are going to watch their watches because the roast is still in the oven and they're worried about it burning. They're not worried about what the Lord has for them to hear this morning. Everybody has their priorities. What's the most important priority? Was the priority of Jonah to tell the people of Nineveh God's word, and he didn't care the outcome? No, he cared about the outcome. Jonah wanted to go to Nineveh, tell them that God was going to destroy them, and destroy them. Why? As I did some more research and I looked through it, and really there's no biblical foundation really to it, but if you look back to the background of Israel and what Nineveh was to Israel, they were an enemy. And they weren't real nice to Jews. So essentially, Jonah had bitterness in his heart towards the Ninevites before even God gave him a word to give the Ninevites. Jonah thought Nineveh was that worst, slummiest person, the one you despise that you can't even look at or talk to in your life. Some of you, that's your parents. Some of that's your brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles. And it may be even somebody here within this building. And you know what? Jonah wanted the judgment for Nineveh, because he thought that was just. And he thought it was right. Now, just put that in perspective for a minute. Was Jonah looking at Nineveh through God's eyes? Was Jonah using the precedent of how God would use Nineveh, maybe? No. What was Jonah's focus? Is about himself and his bitterness towards Nineveh. And they need to get what's coming to them. Now, with that being said, what do we deserve? What do you deserve? What do we all deserve? We actually deserve the punishment that Nineveh should have gotten. We should be destroyed. We are sinners just like Nineveh. We offend people just like Nineveh did. We hold grudges. We do things ungodly. What do we deserve? We deserve judgment. Now, remember, I went back. I know that you are gracious, a merciful God, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. That's not the way God would do things. Let's look at another scripture. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm just going to read this for you. It's 11 verses, so it's quite cumbersome to put on a slide since only maybe one verse at a time up there, and I got to flip through 11 slides. So I'm going to read it to you here this morning. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 says this: the word which came to Jeremiah. Who's Jeremiah? Jeremiah's a prophet. Who's Jonah? He's a prophet. The word came to him from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Verse 3, it says, Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something on a wheel. And the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, started over, into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter? Says the Lord, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plan it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now I just want to point out here that God is talking to Jeremiah about Israel. And God is talking about the other peoples of the world, the cities and the kingdoms of the world too. But what does God say that he wants to do to Israel? He wants Israel to be a usable vessel. What does it do you any good to have a water pot that has a hole in it? Or a crack? Or it's lopsided and the water falls out while you're carrying it? Not very useful, is it? Then why can't God remake and redesign and make a usable vessel? Now you look at this analogy that God put in his scriptures in Jeremiah. Let's go back to the beginning of the story of Jonah, right? God tells Jonah to take the message to Nineveh. What does Jonah do? He goes and gets on a ship and goes the opposite direction. Goes to Tarsus. Does that sound like a real usable vessel to you? Then a storm brews up, right? And Jonah has to get serious and tell some truth, right? And tell what he's done wrong. He gets tossed overboard in the fish. I believe that's God reforming the vessel of Jonah to be effective, to be usable, to be tangible. Jonah goes to Nineveh, tells the word. Now what? After the word is given, Jonah is another broken vessel. The reason why I point this out to you is because when I use the analogy broken vessel, useful vessel, there are things in our lives that keep us from being usable. Anger, bitterness, sin, unfaithfulness, covetousness, greediness, lying, deceit. That's just a few. And that keeps us from being unuseful. Does God want unuseful vessels? As it says here, that the potter sees the flaw. And what does he do? He recreates it to be a good vessel. How does God do that within you? How does he do it within Jonah? How do you become a useful vessel? And I think the one thing that we need to deal with in our lives is anger. You know, a lot of you have been coming to me and asking me about the kids and their schooling situation, and boy, that just boils up some anger in me. And the reason why it boils up anger is because I have bitterness towards people in education of how they treated me as a student. It's really hard when a principal gets on the phone and he's lucky-go-lucky on the phone and he goes, well, how's your day? And you're a pastor of the church and you go, I'm not doing really good at all, sir. If you only understood, sir, what I'm dealing with at home, sir. But I come to find out, God's teaching me to deal with anger and bitterness in my life. You know, I had administrators in school tell me I'd never go to college. I had English teachers that say, you'd never be a pastor. I had people go to my parents and tell them to pitch it in, forget it. It's not worth your time. Do I have some bitterness? Absolutely. Do I have some anger? Absolutely. Am I working with it? Yeah. And it's only by the illumination of God and His Holy Spirit that I can recognize I have bitterness in my heart. But you know what? The thing that can quench that bitterness of all is the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, I got to get rid of that bitterness and that anger. So what I need to do is I need to rely on the Holy Spirit to come in and make clean house with business. You know, Mom sent me a text message the other day. If there's anybody that can make me cry, it's Mom. And she says, great message you had. I'm thinking, okay. I'm trying to think of the message I spoke because it was just when I started getting the messages online. I said, which one did you listen to? Because I wanted to, you know, have a little conversation with her. And you know what she wrote back? All of them. I went, there's like 8 hours worth of audio on the computer. How did she get 8 hours to listen to that stuff? And the next words out in her text message just crumbled me to no end. She says, I can't believe there were people in this world that didn't support you if they could only see what God is doing now. What? If they could only see what God is doing now. Now, that's not to lift me up or anything. It's because God is doing it all. You see, if I'm doing it in my humanistic point of view, in my own being, in my own flesh, folks, I'd be a disaster. But I'm submitting to His will. And I'm trying to work through my pain, my bitterness, and my anger so I can be more effective and a useful vessel for God. Right now, Jonah's not being a very good, useful vessel. He's broken. He's angry. He's frustrated. He doesn't see the justice that he wanted to see. In Exodus 34:6 says this, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and in truth. You know what, people? We serve a great and wonderful God. If you can read these verses and don't get stirred in your heart and in your mind this morning, you are dead. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a graceful God, a loving God, a long-suffering God. Even though we make mistakes, He says, it's okay. Just ask for forgiveness. And He'll give it. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sins, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of their fathers upon the children and their children and their children to their third and their fourth generations. We talked about that this morning, about praying for our generations to come. God gives grace to the ones that will ask for mercy. And the ones who are guilty and will not, what? He's just. If Nineveh would not have turned from their sin, God would have destroyed them. No spoiler alert, but you should read on before next week just so you have an idea what's going on. But God is loving. He forgives. The NLT says this, I show this unfailing love to many, thousands, by forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. God forgives. It says, even so, I do not leave sin unpunished, but I punish the children for their sins and their parents to their third and their fourth generations. We need to deal with our sin, our anger, our bitterness. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? And that's from Jonah. Chapter 4, verse 4. Does Jonah have a right to be angry with God? Are you angry with God? Do you have the right to be angry with God? If you are angry with God, do you have the right relationship with God? Those are some serious questions. We took a poll of who has been angry with God, who is angry with God, and why. And do you have a right to be angry with God? We're going to find out. I have a premise here that I've put forth that Jonah does not have a right to be angry with God, but we'll even see and research it even farther. God teaches Jonah why his anger is not right. And just as God poses the question, do you have the right to be angry with me, Jonah? I pose the question to you, do you have the right to be angry with God? And do you have the right to harbor bitterness against somebody else? God tells me, no, you don't have any right. You don't have any bitterness. You shouldn't have any bitterness in your heart. You shouldn't have any anger. Why? This little truth you can take home today. God will take care of it. We read those verses from Exodus. It all boils down to this. God will take care of it. So we need to let it go. We need to give it up. We need to get right with God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day, Lord. We ask your blessing upon us as we close here this morning, and I just pray that every one of us can rely on that truth that God, you will take care of it. We ask your blessing upon us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It's not going to be on the overhead here. This has kind of become a tradition here with Pastor Stu. The altar is open. Any issues that you may have or want prayer with.